coming to the end of another year, not really our year, Vaishnav year, which is Gaur Purnima, or even the Hindu year is Diwali, but the Christian world, the global world, which bases its economy and accounting practices on this year, and it's the end of a year. And although, of course, we're coming into 2008, it's coming like the end of an age. Things are changing so much in the world at such a rapid pace that I don't have to say when I was young, it was different. Probably most of my listeners can experience how much different the world was when they were young, or even not even so young, even just as much as 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And I'm sure that we'll all agree that the world isn't becoming a better place. It's becoming a horrible place. As Krishna says, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, it's a duk, it's full of misery, it's full of suffering. It's an unfortunate place. And one really has to be blind, and I don't just mean spiritually blind, you've got to be materially blind. Another way, they say just stupid, in order to think that things are looking up, and to not realize just how bad the world really is. And I've seen it drastically change in my life. I don't have experience of the world being as unfortunate, as miserable, as unsuccessful as it is at the present time. And when I speak with my mother, who saw the world in a different condition, and certainly in what we don't yet have precedent for right now, the Second World War, where 30 million people lost their lives, and that was really a horrible thing. She's also complaining that the world's gone mad. There was a certain belief at the conclusion of the Second World War that now we've learned our lesson. Humanity has learned its lesson, never again. But she always keeps telling me this thing and says, but they're doing the same thing, and they're doing it even worse. Yes, people were killing each other at that time, 30 million, as I said. But at least there was, for more part, there was some type of sense behind it. There was some kind of ethic. There was a battlefield. There was certain laws, it's called the Geneva Convention of War, that people followed. You may have heard me give this example before, that the commander of the German Luftwaffe, the German Air Force, when they were trying to invade England, and there was the famous two-month battle for Britain, in which the British Air Force, which was really sort of a fledgling air force, defended against much outnumbered German Air Force, and they would shoot down, the Germans would shoot down the young pilots, and they would just parachute down, go back to base, hop in another plane, and by the next day they'd be out there. Many of these people were 17, pilots were 17, 18 years old. And Hitler was so frustrated that he told his commander, he says, shoot these pilots when you down their plane, shoot them as they fall in their parachutes so that they can't go and fly another plane. And the commander refused. He said, no, I won't do that. We'll shoot them. We'll fight in the sky when we're equally matched, but we're not going to attack with an airplane a person who's unarmed and simply coming down in a parachute. So that was something. 30 million died, but at least there was some rule. Now there's no rules. You may be in a market, you may be in your office, you may be at a political rally, and 1 minute to next there's an explosion and you're dead. or you're splattered against the wall, or both. What to speak of if your children may be going to school and all of a sudden one of the students takes out a gun and starts shooting your son or daughter? How about that for safety of the Karmi schools over Gurukul? At least we don't have any record of that type of thing yet. And I think you've probably all heard or should have heard that the twice-elect Prime Minister of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, she was assassinated yesterday, and that's really plunged Pakistan and that part of the world into more chaos than it's already been in. And that's just next to India. And I'm sure most of you have heard Srila Prabhupada's famous statement that the Third World War will start between Pakistan and India. Just one crazy person presses one of those Pakistani missiles and launches it at Delhi, which is 20 minutes away for one of those missiles. The world is sunk in World War III. And it could happen in any moment. And if that doesn't happen, then just see the condition of the world economy, this subprime loans, which are sort of defaulting like a falling pack of cards in America, is causing a phenomenal economic crisis world over. The European Bank just dished out 500 billion, I repeat billion, that's 1,000 million, 500 billion euros loans to banks in order to help them float through this time of difficulty. But will it work? Who knows? But the economy is fluctuating. The American dollar is an all-time low. And the rest of the world, Iran, Iraq, the Mideast, Burma, you name it. There's political instability, there's wars, there's fighting, there's terrorism going on everywhere, and add to that the existing world epidemic. We're worried about a upcoming one, the bird flu and that avian flu, and that perhaps that can wipe out 500 to 100 million people, as happened in the influenza at the beginning of the last century. But we already have an existing epidemic, AIDS. There are certain African countries where 20-30 people of the population are infected with AIDS. It's affecting the workforce, it's affecting the youth, it's affecting adults, it's breaking up families, it's causing chaos, and it's everywhere. It's in America, it's in England, it's in Europe, it's in India. The price for unrestricted illicit sex, although no one wants to hear that, is a rampant plague that's taking its toll around the world. And if that's not enough, then here's a new one that you all have just seen in this decade. Environmental damage that's taking place due to carbon dioxide emissions, due to producing unnecessary, excessive consumer products, automobiles, television, videos, you name it, just spewing out carbon dioxide, and that's causing the heating up of the atmosphere. The Northwest Passage, which was never navigable before during winter, can now be passed through. The North Pole is melting, Greenland is melting, water levels are rising, temperatures are rising in here in Europe for sure. The hurricanes from the Caribbean are more violent than ever. In America, sometimes there's droughts. At the same time, there's also excessive rain and floods. Here in Europe, we're losing crops because the winters aren't cold enough. The summers are getting more hot. In New Rajadam, there's hurricanes here now. These never existed when we moved here 15 years ago. They just didn't exist. Now we get winds over here that pick up a 4,000 square foot tent and just throw it 100 yards like it's some kind of rubber ball. water levels are falling everywhere, and water has become a commodity. It's something that you drink bottled. It's no longer something you drink out of the tap. It's something that you have to buy. At one time, water was free in England. That's right, the water that flowed in the taps, the water that you drank and bathed in was free. Now you have to buy it in bottles, and soon you may have to buy your bathing water in bottles as well. The world's a mess. And if we think that this is a place where you're going to be happy, a place where there's some kind of security that can guarantee a future for you, that is more than just being in Maya. That is more than just a philosophical misunderstanding. That's being really out of touch with what even non-devotees, non-believers are in touch with. And that is the fact that the world is at its most certain position than people can remember it having been in their lifetime, perhaps even ever. So as we're entering into the new year, we should consider Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. This world is not a place for gentlemen. We should get serious about the thing that really counts, about something that really guarantees our future back home, back to Godhead, and that's Krishna consciousness. And let's put our energy in cultivating Krishna consciousness and not to be excessively worried in how comfortable we are in hell, but rather we should do the necessary to maintain ourselves and really, really take our New Year's resolution that I gotta get serious about Krishna consciousness before living is going to be such a challenge that I may not have time to just luxuriously practice Krishna consciousness as I do now. Hare Krishna.